the following two sentences say practically the same thing in different words. So we'll take them together. Brahma says, the king has been blessed by the gods in order to show their fruition and fruit. The king has been blessed by the gods as belonging to the present world to show the fruition and fruit of deeds well done and deeds ill done. Now these sentences comprise the essence of Brahma's speech, the essence of the whole speech, the essence of the instruction concerning divine kings, the essence of King Balendraketu's advice to his son King Rucharaketu. The matter is expressed still more clearly later on in Brahma's speech when he says, he is called king because he acts in various ways in order to demonstrate the fruition and fruit of acts that are well done or ill done. Now, what does this mean? It means that the social order should reflect the law of karma. The social order should be the mirror of the law of karma. Under the law of karma, skillful actions result in happiness. Unskillful actions result in suffering. It should be the same within the social order. Skillful actions should be encouraged, unskillful actions should be punished. In other words, the social order should be a moral order, and the upholder of that moral order is the king. Each king is responsible for upholding it in his own region. We can now see perhaps why the lecture is entitled The Moral Order and Its Upholders. Now at this point a question arises. Why should the social order be a moral order? Why should the social order reflect the law of karma? There's quite a lot that could be said in reply to this question. I'm simply going to deal with it from the standpoint of the Sutra of Golden Light. We'll then return again to chapter 12 of the Sutra and see what happens when the king does not uphold the moral order. See what happens when he overlooks an evil deed. First, however, I want to draw your attention to a very simple principle, even more simple and fundamental in a sense than the law of karma. Actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. We often forget this. We do things without thinking. Perhaps we do them on the spur of the moment. We don't realize that what we are doing will have consequences. Consequences for our own self, consequences for others, perhaps even very serious consequences. Now, to act without thinking of the consequences of actions is irresponsibility. To act bearing in mind the consequences of actions is responsibility. To the extent that one acts responsibly, to the extent that one is responsible, one is an individual. To the extent that one acts without responsibility, one is not an individual. If one wants to be an individual, wants to become an individual, then one must learn to act responsibly. Must remember that actions have consequences. Must be mindful of the law of karma. Should understand why the social order should be a moral order. So, why should the social order be a moral order? I've already answered this question to some extent. If the social order is a moral order, then By observing that moral order, we are at the same time performing skillful actions. Such a social order is a training ground, as it were, in skillful actions. If we perform skillful actions, we shall accumulate merit. And if we accumulate merit, we shall be reborn in a happy heavenly state. That is to say, be reborn as a god. Now suppose the social order really is a moral order. Suppose the king really does his duty. In other words, does not overlook any evil deed. Suppose all his subjects observe the moral order. Suppose they all perform skillful actions. What will be the result? What do you think? They will all go to heaven. They'll all be reborn as gods. And what will that mean? The ranks of the gods will be strengthened. We mustn't forget that there's a constant battle going on in the universe between the gods and the asuras. Battle between the positive and the negative forces. That is to say, positive and negative forces within the conditioned, within the samsara. Sometimes the gods are victorious, sometimes the asuras are victorious. The gods therefore have a sort of vested interest, as it were, in human beings performing skillful actions. Because if they do this, they'll be reborn as gods, and the ranks of the gods will be strengthened. They'll be then more likely to overcome the asuras. So the traditional Buddhist point of view is that the maintenance of the moral order on earth is of cosmic significance. It helps keep the balance in favour of the positive forces in the universe. One could even say, in favour of the spiritual forces in the universe. Now, as we saw in our third lecture in this series on the spiritual significance of confession, the spiritual is not the same thing as the transcendental. So we shouldn't confuse this battle between the gods and asuras with the conflict between the golden light on the one hand and the darkness on the other. The conflict between nature on the one hand and enlightenment on the other. As I said, the first is a battle within the conditioned, but the second is the conflict, the much more serious and radical conflict between the conditioned and the unconditioned, or rather the conflict between the negative part of the conditioned and the unconditioned. The positive part of the conditioned is on the side of the unconditioned, as it were. The gods are on the side of the Buddha. Skillful actions are on the side of enlightenment. The ethical is on the side of the transcendental. Sila and samadhi are on the side of prajna. The moral order is on the side of the spiritual community. However, I'm going too fast. Too far. Let's go back to the individual. To the responsible individual. The individual who performs skillful actions. Or rather, let us go back to individuals in the plural. The moral order can be described as a network of ethically responsible individuals, of people who act responsibly towards their own selves and responsibly towards one another. People, that is to say, who try to do what is best, truly best, for themselves and others. It's a society in which everyone acts in an ethically responsible manner. It's a society which is totally a moral order, which clearly, faithfully, and fully reflects the law of karma. Perhaps no human society has ever been totally a moral order. Certainly no large human society. a few small societies might have been, at least for a short time. But large or small, all human societies are to some extent moral orders. This means that we are obliged to act in an ethically responsible manner, at least to some extent, obliged to perform skillful actions, obliged to pay some heed to the law of karma. In other words, we develop as individuals. And this is why the social order should be a moral order, because it helps people to develop, ultimately helps them to develop spiritually. We cannot develop without becoming ethical individuals, without developing some sense of responsibility towards self and others. But it's difficult, very difficult, to be an ethical individual in an unethical society. So society must help the individual. Society must be a moral order. In other words, it must reflect the operation of the law of karma. Now, what is the first human society with which we come into contact when we enter this world? Well, we all know, or we should know, it's the family. The family, that is to say, the human family, is not just a biological unit. The family should also be a moral order. It should reflect the larger moral order of society, just as society itself should reflect the ideal moral order, which is the law of karma. So who are the upholders of the moral order within the family? Obviously, the parents. We can say that parents are divine kings on a small scale. They educate their children in the observance of moral norms. They teach them that actions have consequences. It's not just a question of socializing the child. It's a question of giving children some understanding, however rudimentary, of the law of karma. Some training, however elementary, in the performance of skillful action. And this will help the child to become later on a true member of a society which is also a moral order, and will help him to develop as an individual. And we find, according to the Pali scriptures, the Buddha himself doing this very thing. We're told that one day when he was out walking, maybe going for alms, the Buddha passed a group of boys, small boys. And what were they doing? Well, as small boys will, whether it's India or England or anywhere else, they were tormenting a crow which had broken its wing. So the Buddha went up to them and he asked them whether they would like to be treated like that. So they replied, no, of course not. So the Buddha then said, if they would not like to be treated like that themselves, why then treat others like that? He said, the crow doesn't like it either. So the boys understood and they let the crow go free. It's well known that children need to know where they stand, what they can do and what they cannot do, what actions will be approved, what actions will be disapproved, even punished. If the parents laugh when the child is naughty one day, but get angry with him the next for just the same piece of naughtiness, then the child becomes confused, may even become anxious. He just doesn't know what to do. So it's much the same with adults even. We need to feel that certain actions will definitely be followed by certain consequences. We need to exist within an order. Best of all, to exist within a moral order. Though psychologically speaking, at least, almost any order is probably better than no order at all.